Since 1954, the Monastery of the Visitation has been in Snellville, nestled along a winding road and inside a Catholic order of nuns. They're cloistered, which means they don't leave unless it's for medical or service reasons.
Well, the last place you might expect to find bubbly laughter, Jim, is inside a monastery.
It's not just what I say, but you laugh all the time. She'll be laughing in a movie, and it's a tragedy.
No, Mother, that's terrible.
Well, it's terrible. It's just part of your personality.
It
what can
sure
I say?
Is, I suppose so.
No, I told her it's just a nervous habit. Joy is a nervous habit with you.
Over the last few decades, nationally, there's been a decline in women joining religious orders. Producer Mary Claire Kelly, myself, and Dennis O'Hare spent a few hours with the Mother Superior, Mary Jane Frances Williams, and Sister Josefa Maria to talk about their contemplative life, which is devoted to prayer. So we begin this three-part series with the story of the Mother Superior.
Okay. I'm Mother Jane Frances Williams. I'm superior, and this is my seventh year of being superior. What does it mean to be a superior? Well, I'm in charge of the building, so if anything breaks, I see to it that it has to be fixed. And we just replaced the whole roofing outside, a little over a year ago, and that was paid for out of donations. And that's what I tell a lot of our benefactors. I send out about 120 cards, Christmas cards each year. And that's how many benefactors we have. Mm-hmm. People that just sometimes bake a cake for us or come and work for us or give us checks or whatever it is. Anything you do for us, we write you down as a benefactor. And we have a mass said monthly for all benefactors, both living and dead. So I said, you're covered either way. Anyway, and so I'm a widow. I was married for almost 42 years. My husband was a colonel in the Army and also worked for 32 years with NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Business and Congress. And we raised 9 children, 5 boys and 4 girls. And they're all married to the opposite sex. They all are working, and they're all good people. So,
how many grandchildren?
I have 28 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren.
May I ask your age, sister?
My age?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Marlena Dietrich said that any woman that will tell her age will tell anything. That's me. I will tell you anything. I'm 84. Really 120, but I don't like to admit that.
Sister, how many, or Mother, how many years have you been?
I've been here 21 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband died accidentally, and he was in perfect health. He was a swimmer, and so he always swam at least 3 times a week. I used to jog and work out on Nautilus equipment and belong to aerobics, so when he died, that came to a merciful end. I hated it. But anyway, the day he died, he was swimming quarter of a mile in length, relapse in the swimming pool. So he was in good shape. Anyway, so it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sister, let me ask you this. I'm curious as to the reaction from your kids when you said to them,
my oldest daughter that was...
You're in the course note.
Yeah, yeah. My oldest daughter was very much against me coming because she had, and I were very close, so she said, you're deserting us, and blah, 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 blah. My dad's only been dead a year and a half, blah, 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 blah. And she was very, very angry. So she got my youngest daughter. My youngest daughter is... I had 3 girls in a row, 1 son, 3 girls in a row, then 2 boys, then finally this younger daughter, and then 2 other boys. Well, anyway, she was influenced by my older sister, so they both were very much, very vehemently against me coming. So there was a little dissension in the family, but finally when I took final vows, she came on her knees and apologized. She said, I'm sorry I caused such a ruckus. So, you know, it's a lot.
That is the Mother Superior, Mary Jane Frances Williams.
Rose, this is interesting because when I think of a nun, I don't often think of someone who was married, mm-hmm. who has children. How did you feel that that affected kind of her faith and her journey into the...
You know, Jim, as someone who was taught by nuns, someone who's raised Catholic and went to Catholic schools and went to Catholic church, and, you know, and talking to a lot of nuns over the year, it was always that they would enter, you know, the convent at a younger age. And so as we looked at this report about the declining number of women joining religious orders, it was interesting that we found the Mother Superior who, at the age of 61, she wasn't sure if even this type of order, you know, a contemplative order of nuns, was the best fit, and she'll tell you why.
What did you tell them, though, about why you wanted to make this move, yeah, and this kind of commitment?
I said, well, I've got a spiritual director, Monsignor Gere, and God said, in essence, either you go, like I've been telling you, you need to go, or you're going to hell. That's not a very good selection, so that's why I'm here.
Why was it here, do you think, or hell? I mean, why was this the alternative to hell?
Okay, this is really strange. Okay, the priest has a list every year, or a little booklet, usually they have two, that gives a list of all of the communities, both active and contemplative, all over the United States, really. And so he gave me the book, and he said, well, you look it up and see it, because I didn't know what. And first of all, I was older. I was 61 at that time. And I went to St. Walburga's, which is an abbey in Colorado, and talked to the abbess. I was there for a retreat. And she said, I wish I could accept you, but you're too old, and my council would vote no. And so I said, oh, that's okay. At least I'm getting to see what contemplative life is all about, because that's an abbey and an abbess that's contemplative. So even being there a week, I knew what their schedule was and whatever, and I tried to follow it. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. But then I started looking in this little blue book. So I was trying to figure out which is far enough away and yet isn't too far away from Oklahoma. Well, there really isn't anything on the, other than the East Coast. But anyway, you ask how I picked this place. Out of that book, I looked up and I knew that the Visitation was the one that had the only one. And they had a whole lot of lists of their communities, but only one had its address. So I thought, well, this must be the clearinghouse. So I wrote, and it was here in Snellville, Georgia. So anyway, I've never been to Georgia outside of flying in and out of Atlanta to go either overseas or someplace, wherever I was going. So I wrote to them, and the superior at that time said, well, nurses don't do very well here. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense, but I wrote back and said, I'm sure you have great wisdom in what you're saying, but I'd still like to come at least for a retreat. So she wrote back and said, yes, you may come. So my spiritual director said, you know, why did you write Snellville, Georgia? And so, and several other people asked me that. I said, because it was the only address. And they said, no, it's not. There's a whole bunch of them with addresses. And I said, no, it's the only address that was on there. I swear. So I went back and looked at the book, and there were all these other addresses. So I thought, God's trying to tell me something. I better pay attention, so I came here. So I thought, well, this is a great place, and I like their schedule pretty good. I mean, you know, what? So I stayed here for a month and thought, well, I'm not sure I'm going to really come back here.
So, Jim, that is Mary Jane Frances Williams, and wasn't sure whether or not she was going to come back. She was interested in joining the Contemplative Order of Nuns in Snellville. And that's cloistered and a lot of prayer. So in making that final decision, this is what she came up with.
And so I was given the ultimatum. I went back to my spiritual director, and he had me talk to a superior, Carmel's in Oklahoma City, actually Piedmont, Oklahoma. I want you to talk with several superiors. So he knew I had talked to this abbess. So he said, tell me what you find. What is your observation in talking with three superiors in three different orders? And I said, they're all alike. They actually say all the same thing, pretty much. And their job is something I wouldn't want. I think I would like to be a contemplative. So I looked up contemplative and figured out from that what we were talking about, because I thought, okay, contemplative means a lot of different things. What are we really talking about? And then I realized that this is a cloistered contemplative group. Is that what you really want? And I said, no, I don't really want that. But I came anyway. And I was sold. So you have to have peace. You have to have peace to know that you're doing the right thing. Your own will has nothing to do with it. If it's God's will, he's going to slap it in your face, is what he did. And almost all the sisters say the same thing.
That was Mary Jane Frances Williams and her journey to becoming Mother Superior at the Monastery of the Visitation in Snellville. Now, tomorrow on A Closer Look, the process of admitting women in this cloistered order of nuns and why studies indicate there is a decline in women joining religious orders.
Fascinating stuff. This is really kind of behind the curtain things you don't often hear.
And, you know, it's funny because, our colleague Dennis O'Hare and I, you know, we cut up sometimes in the newsroom. We were so well behaved. but no, it's a fascinating story. And we have two more segments that Closer Look will air. So I hope people enjoy it. It was really very, very fast and beautiful ground. Cats and dogs. You know, I'm a big animal lover. So
you're a big cat lover.
Yeah. Well, they have a dog. They have two dogs named Peter and Paul. And there is a cat, I believe, named Jeremiah. So you see the names there.